Good morning, church. It is my joy and privilege to speak to us all this morning. I know this past week has been a challenging one, especially for those of us in Lagos and other parts of Nigeria with all the recent events. But I trust the Lord for a most refreshing time this morning as we go into the teaching of the word. Let us take a moment to bow our hearts to our Father as we pray. Mighty God, we thank you and bless you for this time, this opportunity to listen to your word, to fellowship with you, to fellowship with the saints, and to learn from you. Father, I pray that your word will come powerfully, that light, revelation, truth would pierce our hearts. Thank you, mighty God, that we'll live here, live today, with an understanding of your truth, with an understanding of your plan, with an understanding of how you would want us to see our lives. We bless your name, we give you glory, Father. Amen. And so a word now appears like one of those master strokes of the Spirit of God. We're starting another series today. And if you had to ask me, there is no better time to be looking at this topic. You know, in the pastoral team, we had outlined the messages we were convinced the Lord would have us bring to the church. And that was at the end of 2019. And on that list, we had this series, which we lined up for precisely this time of the year. And you know, the larger series we've been looking at since the beginning of the year is Faith in Action. But this mini-series is titled Faith in Adversity. And my task this morning is to briefly introduce the topic and, like I said, a foundation for us to proceed in the rest of the series. Faith in Adversity. You see, for many people, these two words should not be in the same phrase or sentence. Many people have been wrongly taught that faith in God, or perhaps, you know, in inverted commas, authentic faith in God cannot coexist with adversity. And unfortunately, in a proportion of believers, the mental picture that they have created is a life of unrestrained worldly enjoyment. Now, I've been around long enough to know that in the 80s and early 90s, the predominant Christian movements in this part of the world largely rejected things they considered as worldly things. So secular music, secular entertainment, excessive jewelry, and even in some cases, any form of jewelry at all. And in addition, things that they considered as the comforts of the world, they rejected those things. And then perhaps as a reaction to the extreme or the excesses of that movement, a new movement arose that then pushed forward an orientation that appears to suggest that not only can believers enjoy these things, but that God desires for us to have these things and to have them in abundance. And so scriptures like John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. John 10 and verse 10. Or Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, where it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one through Christ Jesus. Those verses of scripture have been stretched, taken out of context, pressed, twisted, contorted to mean that faith and adversity should never mix. Or perhaps genuine faith should never mix with adversity. But you see, having life more abundantly and reigning in life, as those two verses of scripture tell us, have been taught by some people to mean that a true believer should never have any form of adversity. And in fact, one of these ministers once said in a message that the apostles of Christ and the people in the early church went through some of the difficulties they faced because they did not know their kingdom rights or their dominion rights. You see, of course, I understand the place of knowledge and understanding of the truth, and I recognize that as scripture says, people perish for lack of knowledge. I understand that. In fact, I remember writing an article that I titled The Peril of Ignorance. And in fact, many times I emphasize the absolute necessity of Christians growing in their knowledge of God and of God's word. But to say that children of God will never have any adversity in their lives if they walk in faith is a gross misrepresentation of God's word. A gross misrepresentation of God's word. I remember one of Ron Kinoly's songs from way back. That song was titled All the Way. It was from the album Dwell in the House. The lyrics of the initial part of the first verse goes like this. The day I chose to give my life to you is the day that everything began to change. The problems that I faced were getting stronger. I thought when I got saved, my problems would go away. Ron is not alone. There are many Christians in this same boat, or as people like to say in Nigeria, there are many Christians in this same WhatsApp group. But you see, I must make it abundantly clear in this introductory sermon, in this series, that adversity is a normal aspect of the human experience. Adversity is a normal aspect of the human experience. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 24 and verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider God also hath set the one over against the other. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3 says, remember them that in the bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. See, all these verses of scripture clearly show us that adversity is to be expected in the earthly human experience. In fact, if we go back to that verse in Ecclesiastes and we look at it in a more contemporary translation of the Bible, it becomes even clearer. This is how the New Living Translation renders Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14. It says, enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Let me read it again. Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, the New Living Translation. Faith in adversity. The English dictionary will define adversity as any difficult or unpleasant situation. Any difficult or unpleasant situation. The word adversity itself is only found 10 times in the KJV version of the Bible. The plural adversities is found 2 more times in the King James. And so that will make a total of 12 times. But several other words that describe what adversities are can be found in different parts of the scriptures. And these words, translated adversity, or that could mean adversity and or describe adversity, have a range of translations like distress, injury, calamity, misery, affliction, harm, sorrow, trouble, wretchedness, hurt, something causing sadness, torment, maltreatment, oppression, ill treatment, plague, trials, trouble, tribulation, or even peril. But no matter how much we would want to wish these things away, life is filled with adversity. I remember many years back, as I did a personal study of the book of Job, I looked at his life and came away with the obvious lesson that life many times is presented in cycles of prosperity, adversity, and then restoration. And many times this goes on repeatedly in cycles: prosperity, adversity, and then restoration. You see, I know in contemporary Christianity, especially in the Pentecostal or charismatic world, we like the first and third sections of that cycle: prosperity and restoration. But that middle aspect of adversity is also an attendant aspect of life. Prosperity, adversity, and then restoration. You see, our country right now, which is why I said this looks like the best time for us to have this series, our country, Nigeria, right now appears to be in one of such grave periods of adversity. In the last 1 week, and even going on now, there have been different experiences and actions that have shown us such high levels of insecurity, economic hardship, and very poor governance that have seemingly pushed us to the edge as a nation, and is beginning to have different effects on different individuals. Adversity. Personally, I have had my own share of adversities. Some of these phases of my life and different experiences I have had are known to some members of this local assembly, but some are probably known only to very close friends and family members. And even if we don't have personal adversity, you see, the fact that we're Christians and we bear one another's burdens means that sometimes we have to sorrow with those who sorrow. Romans 12 and verse 15, it says, weep with those who weep. And so sometimes we are sharing in the grief of other people. One of our pastors lost a dear brother about 2 weeks back, and we shared in her sorrow. So we are sharing many times in the grief of those who go through different types of losses. And all of those things are a part of life. Job chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Meaning, sparks always fly upward from a fire. And in the same way, man is always born to trouble. Adversity. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Life is full of trouble. And even for us, people of faith, even for those of us who belong to God, there is the constant trouble and trials that come to us in this our fallen world. I think, for instance, about the Psalms. And you know, you must know that I really love the Psalms. But you see, the psalmist repeatedly speaks about how he's in trouble. Trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And in fact, many times we find him speaking to the Lord about his troubles. For example, during Wednesday service, we listened to that lovely song that was drawn from Psalm 3. And the very first verse of Psalm 3 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Adversity. And then in many of the Psalms, we find the psalmist celebrating the fact that the Lord delivers him out of trouble. You won't find the psalmist talking about God keeping him away from trouble. Rather, you would always see him saying, celebrating that the Lord had delivered him from his troubles. Psalm 34 and verse 17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Psalm 37 and verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Psalm 54 and verse 7, for he had delivered me out of all trouble. Psalm 59 and verse 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Adversity. Faith in adversity. And even in marriage and family life, there is trouble. You know, in the last series, we spoke about the spiritual home. And I spoke in some of those sermons, speaking about how the family and the home life is that place of security and that place of love. But even then, in marriage and family life, there is adversity. You see, Paul clearly mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 28, that people who get married would have trouble in the flesh. There is adversity, even in marriage and family life. And to be even very frank, there's no trouble that is as painful as that which occurs within the context of family life. You see, the closer people are to you, your spouse, your child, a grandchild, a relative, your father, your mother, the more the pain is inflicted on you in their sorrow, in their suffering, in their own disappointment, and in their death. And to me personally, the toughest periods of adversity that I've had were those that involve family life. Because you see, there's just an amplification of the unpleasantness and the difficulty and discomfort in such scenarios. Adversity. Even Jesus told us, John 16 and verse 33, he says, in this world you will have tribulation. We can replace it with anguish, burden, pressure, persecution, trouble, affliction, distress, oppression, or in other words, adversity. In this world, we will have adversity. You see, it just goes with life here. So we need to expect it. Any human at all, even Christ himself here on earth, faces adversity. Adversity in family life. Adversity from friends. Adversity on the job. Adversity in your business. Adversity in school. Economic adversity, criticism, persecution, and all the likes. I know that many people draw up different explanations of why adversity comes in our lives. Different reasons. And if I'm going back to the book of Job, for instance, Job's three friends came from three different approaches, but they concluded wrongly that Job must have done something wrong. Zophar was dogmatic. He obviously believed that every adversity arises because of a person's wrongdoing. And so he accused Job of wickedness. He didn't have any proof. He just believed so. Another friend was Bildad. Bildad was the traditionalist. He argued from traditional wisdom and he started off accusing Job's children of sin. And so he said, Job's children must have been the ones that sinned, and that would have warranted their punishment. The third friend was Eliphaz. And Eliphaz was probably their leader. He was the most prominent of the friends. He was apparently also speaking wise words. And he even claimed the authority of some mystical experience. Some spiritual mystic. Eliphaz. But he also assumed that Job's adversity came from Job's personal wickedness. But all three friends were wrong. I've had periods in my life when people had come to me, oh, maybe this is going on because you are not paying your tithe. Maybe this is going wrong because you people did something in your family. Maybe this is going wrong because your forefathers have done something. There is a curse in your family. Maybe because something. Maybe the idols. Oh, maybe this. Maybe the demons. Maybe all sorts of reasons. If not that the earlier parts of the book of Job already gave us a behind-the-scenes picture of what was happening, we may have fallen for the argument of Job's friends. They were carefully crafted submissions. And this goes to show us that many times the reasons people would even give for the adversity that they are facing may not be true. Especially in this part of the world. Every adversity that people face, we will always find a demonic influence behind it. Every. If you've not found a demonic influence, it's because you've not gone to the right prophet or the right seer. They will always find something. But we must recognize we may not always know the precise cause of our adversity. But then we must realize that adversity is a part of life. And let me say it again. The idea that somehow when you become a Christian, you ought to be free from adversity is just not true. The idea that somehow when you become a Christian, especially if your faith is strong enough, then you won't have any difficulties and that you would almost be magically swept into unmeasured success, unlimited fulfillment, wealth, prosperity, is just not true. Why? Adversity is a part of life. Life was designed, and life as it is gives a picture of unpleasant, difficult situations arising or facing us from time to time. As I close this morning, let us turn to the book of James and read a few verses and then we close. Faith in adversity. James chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. James chapter 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verses 1 to 4, it says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. From verse 2, I want us to notice that the Apostle James also understands that adversity comes in many forms. You see, in the KJV, what he says in verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." The word "diverse" is the word poikilos, which means many colored, various colors, variegated, of various sorts, multiple kinds of adversity. He does not emphasize the number or the quantity, but he emphasizes diversity. Adversity can come in all kinds of ways, like we have noted this morning. In relationships, in monetary matters, in physical things. There are different kinds of adversity. While the word temptation in the KJV is the word pirasmos, that means troubles, adversity, affliction. And the truth is, we don't even know what kind of adversity the people that James wrote this epistle to were facing. They were Jewish believers who had been scattered abroad, as verse 1 says. They were dispersed all over the place. And in their dispersion in a Gentile world, they were facing all kinds of adversity. Some of them were being persecuted. Some of them probably were not being paid for the work that they did. In fact, in James chapter 5, you begin to understand that there were hostilities against them by the rich people. That was probably one of the kinds of adversity that they were facing. But James' point isn't really to define these things in their specificity. His point, and my point as well today, is simply to point out to us that there are all kinds of ways in which our lives are exposed to adversity. But then the issue becomes, how do we face these troubles as people of faith? Or better still, how do we walk in faith when we face adversity? And that's what this series is out to look at. So join us next week as we go deeper into this important topic of faith in adversity. But remember the point. Today, adversity is a normal experience in human life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless your name and give you glory and praise. For you are Lord above all things. Lord, in our lives, we worship you, we bless you. And Lord, as your word has come forth in our hearts, I thank you, Father, for it liberates us to accept the realities of life and helps us to recognize that the presence of faith does not mean the absence of adversity. And Lord, as we live our lives, we thank you for the grace to live it as you want us to. And thank you for the truth that will guard our hearts and help us to face challenges as they come. I bless your name and I give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.